Hello, grandkids, and welcome to OPA number 38. I am here with Ken. How you doing, buddy?
I just feel like I'm walking on sunshine, Kevin. No, it's been a... Well, I guess just personally, it's been an interesting time because I've been looking forward to starting a new job come Monday. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
I was wondering if that might be where that came from.
Yes, indeed.
So
yeah. I've been looking forward to getting into this line of work for a while. So
full-time web developer, so that means all kinds of improvements at stuntgranny.com coming for free soon.
That's right. We need to work on that. We got some ideas that we need to implement. So, so that's pretty exciting for me. We're just, going a little out of order, I guess, to say that our Sippy Time beer this evening is one that you're not going to find at a store, sadly. It's a homebrew by our one and only Kevin DeFrango.
Yeah, I am actually almost done with my beer before we start the show.
Now, it is a medicinal beer for you this evening, would you say?
It is helping me belch,
yes.
Which is improving my status at the current moment.
So that's the good news.
Yeah.
The bad news is that Kevin's probably going to be belching all throughout this podcast. Because he's having some, I guess this is probably about week two or week three of your...
Well, this is a different problem now. It's been a chain of different problems. Mm. I was dehydrating myself last week. I had back problems a little over a month ago. One thing's just kind of rolled into the other here. It has not been a good string of luck for the DeFrango Meister.
Well, you know, you just it sounds like you're dealing with these things as they're coming up here one at a time. So, you know, you're on the right path here. We're just gonna you just have to drink enough beer until you burp it all up, and then we'll be fine.
Yep, I can't wait. I'm gonna go home and treat myself to a bran muffin to help out.
Oh yeah, that sounds delightful.
I had one when I came home, so, you know, fair warning if anything comes out the other side.
Okay. At least our listeners will be spared from that eventuality.
Yeah, that heinous crime will only occur to you and Preston.
Well, I hate to do this, but speaking of heinous crimes, I believe this... we've had some breaking news here earlier today. You know, we like to get into news once in a while here on the show. And this...
A pilot it was German Wings, but the guy worked for Lufthansa, I think.
Flight 4U9525, apparently.
Yeah, that crashed into the Alps earlier this week.
And apparently it turned out to be, or at least they believe it to be, at this point, which is why I mentioned as being a crime, it's being investigated as a crime, because apparently it looks like the co-pilot locked out the pilot and intentionally crashed the plane. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah, that is some pretty crazy shit. And it was pretty interesting in that article... I mean, it really did just kind of hit the main topics. I heard that it happened, and then I had heard, even before I read this article, that that the co-pilot had done this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was kind of my first exposure there.
So, I wasn't completely oblivious to this occurrence. But I hadn't really followed it that much, and it was interesting that everyone seemed to think the co-pilot was on the up and up. Not to say that that doesn't happen a lot, like, oh, I didn't realize that axe murderer was actually a bad guy.
Yeah, people aren't usually saying, like, oh, you know what, he always seemed kind of axe murdery, you know? It's always like he was a really, you know, well, although I... Oh, first of the night, there we go. sometimes we hear people as saying like he just was kind of, he like kind of kept to himself. And
yeah,
and that's usually kind of a code word for axe murderish individual. But
yeah, that's the biggest one that would come about, really.
It doesn't seem like so in this case, though. It seems like he was known, you know, it had a decent amount of, like, friends and things.
Yeah, this was, like, his lifetime goal. If you're flying for Lufthansa or some subsidiary, you're probably doing okay for yourself.
Yeah, I'd imagine. And, you know, it seemed like he was a jogger. I don't know. It just seems like... And I
didn't know the jogger part.
Yeah, well, that's probably key to the whole thing, so I don't know. But yeah, one of his neighbors said that he was, you know, saw him jogging like so many times around, you know, the neighborhood. He just seemed like a kind of friendly guy. But apparently, I was looking at, like, and the thing that kind of blew me away from looking into, I followed one of the links off this article, and they said that the co-pilot who had, you know, was in the only one in the
cockpit.
The cockpit, yes. Like his Facebook page got taken down, I guess, shortly after the you know,
the
everything came
happened.
Out. Yeah,
yeah.
But people were, you know, able to see that he, you know, what kind of stuff he liked and like who, you know. What kind of pages he liked and what he was into, like his activity and things like that.
Right.
Which is just, you know, I don't know, contrast that to remember the Unabomber or something like that, like where basically like, you know, nothing about this person and there's, it's all speculation. Like within, I don't know, a day or two, like, they were listing like all the different like Facebook pages he was members of and like, there was this one, it was like in German, of course, but it was like when men are alone and it sounds a little bit like a hookup site or something, but, no, it's a, kind of like a, I don't know, a man, you know, stereotypical men type stuff, like a Tim the Toolman Taylor kind of situation, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Like it's like, except it's German, so it's like, groh, 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 I don't know, something like that. But my German is not so good. I never really took it in school, so.
Yeah, I took it, and I can't really think of anything other than just doing the Tim Allen version of it, because Germans did like to imitate Americans when we were over there, and they were the hardest to distinguish, to me, at least at that time frame, whether the person was German or American. Like, they came the closest dress-wise and looks-wise.
Yeah, they're probably pretty close economically, I would say. And I think they're, you know, that makes sense that they would be up there with, or be dressed similarly to Americans, but it was like, I don't know, like little funny videos, I guess. Like I'm thinking one was, a guy who had a chainsaw on ice skates in a, on a lake.
Well, and sure. Why not?
Sure, as you will. And he was using the chainsaw basically as a form of locomotion. He would put it down onto the ice.
Oh.
And would like saw, and it would like propel him forward and like be slicing through the ice. Yeah. At least that's what it appeared to be. I mean, maybe he, I don't know, maybe he didn't slice all the way through it. I'm not sure. But yeah, because there's no water splashing up. I bet he did not slice all the way through it, because that would probably be a problem if he did that.
One would think.
Yeah, but he was really zooming along, so it was kind of, you know, amusing to see, at least. But
yeah, I'm just imagining it being ridiculous. Like, I don't really need to see that now. Like, your description works for me. Like,
yeah,
it's,
but it's just
stupid fun.
I guess it just seemed like very normal stuff, you know? It's not like, I mean, it's dangerous. But I guess, you know, part of me then, like, when I was driving, picking up dinner tonight, I started to think then, like, what if he was just like trying to do some crazy stunt with this? Like, I don't know. I could, it, because it's so hard for me to think of, like, why somebody would do this. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you're trying to go from watching a chainsaw video to why you'd crash a plane into the Alps?
Right, because this, like, because in some ways, like, you know all this stuff about this guy, but really, like, do you? I mean, just seeing this video, you could be tempted to make some, like, I was tempted to make that kind of comparison. You know, I realize that's a silly conclusion to draw from.
Yeah, yeah. But, I would say extremely so.
But I don't know. You said you talked it over with the lady earlier today.
Right. No, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why you would do that. I mean, you have a good job. I don't know. You might be a little lonely or something. Whatever. You know, I'm sure he'll get over it.
Right.
I don't think he did it because of some forsaken love. Like, there had to... Well, I at least I don't think so.
I guess it's possible, but... Like, maybe it's... He, like, achieved all his dreams, and then there was, like... He realized he was still, you know, unsatisfied somehow, and now he didn't know what to do. If you would take it that, you know, his goal in life, as said, was to be a pilot. But
yeah,
people usually have more than one goal, I'd say. And even if he did, right. Even if he only had one goal, like, this seems like another goal, right? I mean, if he did intend to do this.
Yeah.
This is not something you do because you're, you know, bored, I would say.
Right. I would imagine that at some juncture, just because, I mean, this is fresh news, that there's going to be something found out somewhere. Like, to be able to hide all of your activity is kind of hard.
Right. Well...
So, I mean, you can keep it off of Facebook. You can keep it off of different things, but I don't know how much time this guy would have. I mean, pilots are kind of busy.
So you're thinking he is somehow involved with a radical group or something like that?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't seem like...
He is.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess it's possible.
But, I mean, it's a crazy way to... because the investigator didn't want to call it a suicide because he killed 149 people. Which is quite understandable.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it's at least that's maybe where the motive started. You know, why it happened in some ways. Like, even though it wasn't suicide, that's why it happened.
Because he wanted to kill himself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but you would have to think there's other ways to do that.
There are a lot of other ways to do that did not involve 149 other people.
Right. Like, I mean, I don't know. It just, that part just seems strange.
Yeah, and I can't see it being for the fame at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of that? Well, I don't know. That has been the point of, historically, people have done... things like that to be famous.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, like, but it's not something that I'm going to revisit. You know, like, if someone brought it up, I would remember it, but it's not going to be one of those events, quite like a 9/11 or something like that, where I remember exactly what happened.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean...
And there has been a weird... To me, it seems like there hadn't been that many plane crashes, or at least big ones. And all of a sudden, we have just a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Which has been kind of weird, because I know that I didn't go to all the links in the article, but the Malaysian flight was referenced in there... And the I'm sure the flight over Russia there or the Ukraine was on there. Yeah, it just seems like there are an awful lot of planes having problems for one reason or another these days.
Yeah, it does seem like after a lull, it's come back for some reason. I was just reminded of this sort of idea of becoming famous by destruction, you know. And it reminded me of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, being the statue of Zeus at Olympia. And I don't know if you recall hearing this before, but there was a guy, apparently, who, let's see here, he burned it, and the reason was because he wanted to be famous. So
he burned the statue?
Yes. Well, yes. Like, it was just burned the, basically the temple. And then...
Caligula?
No.
No, he wasn't the one to loss and destruction. No, he wasn't the one that quite did it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm feeling let down here by Wikipedia because they are not... It's not coming to my aid here at this moment.
Our unknown.
Well, the circumstances of its eventual destruction are unknown. It was carried off to Constantinople, Great Fire. Blah, blah, blah.
Maybe your memory is just faulty, sir.
All right, we're going to have to do a little follow-up on this one.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Exactly.
You're the one that started it, though.
I know. I really just hoisted myself.
This was not my tangent.
No, exactly. So, it seems odd. I don't know. I guess we'll find out more.
I mean, that's kind of the interesting thing about this one, is that there is definitely more to come. Well, at least I think there's more to come.
Yeah. I mean, so do you, I guess, have any theories that will probably be proven wrong by the time this podcast is put up?
Oh, no. I'm not going to try to provide any type of speculation in that regard. Like, I mean, I already did. Like, I half implied that he was, jihad guy or someone with like a German freedom rights cause or some weird shit. I didn't quite throw that accusation out, but it was kind of hanging there. I don't know. It's pretty weird because they said they heard breathing, but they didn't say anything about speech in the article.
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
And that which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, if he's doing it for something, I guess you would think that he would say something.
Right.
Even if it was a suicide thing, you would think that he would kind of want to record his own last words or some weird bullshit like that.
Right. Well, I guess it could. You know what, though? If it was, I bet they wouldn't necessarily come out and say that at this point. So, that could be something that'll come to light more, because they are investigating. You know what, I kind of am leaning that way at this point, because what you said made sense there. I could see it being a suicide and them not wanting to, you know, publish it that way, because a lot of times, at least in this country, and I think elsewhere, they don't report like suicides in the newspaper or anything, because they don't it's been shown that reporting on and drawing attention to it will make it more likely for other people to commit suicide.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't know. It might be something that they don't want to get out there or be able to control how it's put out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're right, because maybe it's a developing story, but just the way it was worded, like, it sounded like they weren't quite sure. They just didn't have any information on anything that the guy said.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been mumbling it under his breath, and it might have just not sounded that loud, and that with further study, they can find something on the tape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I don't know how well or how long they've had it.
Right. So that makes a difference too, but.
Right.
We'll see. TBD on that one.
Yeah, yeah, I did. That's just a crazy story.
Okay, I kept forgetting, but I'm going to get it in here. The thing that they did say that was seemed nutty to me is there was a lock on the door to the cabin. No, that part makes sense. You want to have a lock on the door to the cockpit area. But there was three settings for the lock. Open.
Right.
Enough said. Locks. Okay, it's locked, so no one can just walk in. But there's a keypad password that you can use to...
Well, that's the normal setting.
That's the normal setting.
Yeah, the normal setting, it locks it from the exterior, but the pilot can input a code to get in.
Okay, that is, I got my terminology mixed up there.
So yeah, it's open, normal, and locked.
Right. So the normal setting is when it, you know, you might consider your door to your house when you lock it. It's in this setting. You know, you can open it from the outside with the key or with the passcode. In this case, it sounded like.
Right. Yeah. It's like if you have a real alarm.
Yeah. But there's also this mode, which I think is what they called locked, right? Where it's...
It completely locks out anybody for 5 minutes, which was a curious thing, too. I guess I don't know how long this action took.
Well,
to be perpetrated.
Yeah.
Like, did the pilot start getting out of his seat and the guy just immediately went into the dive? Like, the sequence of events is still out there, I guess, to me.
Yeah. I mean, I would guess that if you just wanted to straight up crash the plane in the ground, you could probably do it pretty quickly. But I don't know. You know, I'm not an expert, but it seems very strange. Like, what is the purpose of having a door that locks that way? Like, are things going to, like... For 5 minutes, what is that going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what was the weird thing to me. It's just like, well, didn't the guy, like, if he locked it right as the other pilot left, maybe when the pilot got back, he didn't have to bang on the door. He could have just punched in the passcode and gotten through. Because I think it resets the normal. But I don't know why you do that, though. Like, it just, you just lock it, right? That's what's weird to me. I mean, I don't know why it just doesn't get locked.
I'm thinking, okay, let's imagine a scenario.
Or maybe it is just because a pilot can go crazy and maybe there's some scenario that they need to get in there.
Okay, so like, let's say the pilot went out to go to the restroom. Somebody seizes control of the airplane. They have the pilot hostage. They could force him to put the code in to open the cabin to the cockpit.
Right.
So, I mean, he really shouldn't do that, but maybe, you know, that's like a failsafe against that.
If he's really feeling the heat.
Yeah. But then, if it's only for 5 minutes, what's the point of, like, what's going to change in 5 minutes there? You know, like what's ever going to change in 5 minutes?
Maybe yeah, I feel like 5 minutes is just going to be too late if anything's going wrong.
Yeah, but why?
Like in this case, like, and if the plane is still flying and it's flying straight and like they're trying to take the other guy hostage or the co-pilot hostage. Yeah, you just want it locked altogether. Like, you don't want a time limit on that.
Right, because I would think that the whole idea behind the lock is to keep the controls secure from someone just being able to, you know, do basically something like this. I mean...
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't understand that system. And maybe that maybe that'll be something that changes after this, because it really doesn't make much sense to me. But, right. You know, I think we can move on maybe to a lighter topic here.
Yeah, this topic, I was kind of amused. I had talked to Jeremy when we were doing Stunt Granny Audio 293 and 294 earlier this week. And, yeah, 294 should be out later today, actually, if I get this write-up done quickly. But I was going to pop a WrestleMania question on you, but before I even got the chance to bushwhack you with that, you had already put an article up in our little Evernote catalog.
Yes.
About WrestleMania. So I was like, oh, damn it. Like, he spoiled my attempt here.
Yeah,
I guess. You at least have some working knowledge of what's going on.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to pull one over on the canister here. So, yeah, I ferreted that one out before you could spring a trap on me. But I thought it was kind of interesting here. This also reminded me of a Radiolab episode. I don't know if any of our listeners have heard that podcast as well, but it's a good show. And one of the latest ones was actually wrestling themed, and kind of dealt with realism that kind of comes into wrestling sometimes, because, you know, things can go wrong or.
Yeah, of course they talked about, as any of our wrestling fans would know, the Montreal Screwjob.
Right. And, you know, Bret Hart getting forced into a submission there. They go into that story a lot and play clips from that Wrestling with Shadows movie, I guess. So it's worth a listen.
Right.
But so this more recent kind of, I guess, injection of reality into the proceedings here is the fans kind of taking issue with the state of things in the World Wrestling Entertainment Empire. Would you say that that's kind of summing things up a little bit? And I added an extra E there, so that would be WWEE.
Yeah. and you just worded the question kind of weird for me, which is what took me a second. I feel like it's been a while where the crowd has realized that if they want something done, they need to cheer for it.
So they can basically vote in person with their response.
Yeah. And I feel like most crowds have kind of risen to the occasion to try and cheer on whomever. It might be different people in different cities, but the crowds have been better for a good year plus now. I would say it started after WrestleMania 2 years ago or so.
In terms of being smarter, you think? Or in terms of being more vocal?
More vocal. I don't know about smarter necessarily.
Okay. Well, this does seem like something of a new development, because you're going to have to help me out with some names here.
Yeah, well, this one really, this article deals with Roman Reigns getting booed, even though the WWE has been positioning him as a good guy.
And this reminded me of when, back in the early 2000s, I believe, when Dwayne The Rock Johnson was being really popular, but he was supposed to be a bad guy, and everybody was, you know, basically cheering for him like a good guy and chanting for him, which is kind of the opposite problem to what this current situation is here.
Yeah, his cousin is having the opposite problem.
Yes.
But the funny thing is it's... in some ways, it's more of a split crowd than just straight up booing them. because he does still have some fans behind him. But there are a large, there is definitely a faction of people not pleased with the decision.
And I guess I would say to have like any noticeable like portion of the crowd booing the babyface wrestler is a little unusual, especially.
Well, see, now it, the last decade has been run by John Cena, who has been that type of an act. He has been polarizing for at least half of his run. And they've, honestly, they've really played into it probably the last 3 or 4 years. Just because it was hard to hide that most of the people older than 18 in the male demographic did not approve of one Juan Cena. So,
now this may be a little wrestling 101 for people out there, but so what do you think it is that people didn't like about John Cena? He's a little too cheesy or something?
Yeah, half of his promos are good. Half of his promos are cheese dick shit that is just intolerable half the time.
It is it disgusts you. It fills you with disgust.
Yeah. He just makes bad poop jokes.
Oh, see, that's not good. No.
And yeah, I don't mind poop jokes. I am not above poop jokes, but
it's got to be at least, you know, funny.
Yeah, you got to craft it a little bit differently than that.
Yeah. Awkward poop jokes is what I'm getting. That's probably the worst kind of poop joke. Well, okay, that makes sense then. So do you see that this almost as carrying on in that tradition then of sort of the unpopular hero?
I think that he certainly has more time to straighten things out than John Cena did. Like, John Cena kind of grew into that, and that's it. He kind of went for the kids and everything. Roman Reigns can make a conscious decision to kind of still go for the older demographic if he wants to. But it's more of a lot of people wanted Daniel Bryan in that spot.
Yeah, wasn't he the champion?
He was the champion, but unfortunately he had to take 9 months off right after, he only had the belt for another month after WrestleMania and then had to give up the title because of a neck injury.
Pregnant. Okay. Well, that's a problem.
Right. And honestly, the type of match that he would have to work with Brock Lesnar, I'm not sure that it's a good idea for him to work. Because it does play into this David and Goliath scenario where you have this guy who's about my size against Brock Lesnar, who's 6'4", 6'5", 285.
So a lot of slams, you would imagine?
Well, he, in a match against John Cena recently, he suplexed him 16 times in the match. I mean, I can't believe John Cena volunteered to take up for that beating. Because that just had to have been tough. There is no two ways about it. That is one tough human being to... again, no, it's scripted, but that does not tickle.
Right.
Especially, I mean, a lot of times they were just throws where he released them. And you're definitely landing. Like, at least if they control the descent, you can have a little bit of cushion.
Yeah, this was that is true. It does. The mat always sounds pretty hard too when somebody hits it. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's the softest thing in the world.
Right. Yeah. There's plywood underneath there. It's not comfortable.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there is obviously foam and a mat there to absorb some of the blow, but there still is plywood down there, so it's pretty sturdy.
Yeah, I mean, this will be... WrestleMania coming up here in April, right?
No, it's this Sunday. Sunday. Well, next Sunday is Easter, so they could not have it on Easter.
Oh, yes. Our Lord must rise without wrestling.
Yep.
I wonder, do you think this is going to end up just being a blip in the greater scheme of things here?
No, Roman Reigns is going to be around for a long time. He's still a little... part of the problem and part of the reason people are revolting is because he's young and he's going to be around for a long time. Like, they feel like it's a premature thing. So, and I mean, it kind of is. There aren't very many talents recently that have been given this style of push. And it's just, to me, it's weird and frustrating because, you know, they say one thing and they do another sometimes.
In terms of the character?
In terms of how they push people.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes they just don't consistently stay behind someone, and this time they've consistently stayed behind someone and been stubborn about it. Like, people want it to be a little more organic than what this has been.
Now, do you think it's because they don't have John Cena, it sounds like, anymore? They need somebody else? Or
well, they need someone new. Cena has been around for like 12 or 14 years.
Yeah.
You know, he still has some time left. But if he walked away, I mean, and he really should at some point. The guy has just a poop ton of money. He's been the face, he's been the face of the WWE for well over a decade.
Star of the silver screen?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got some money, probably. I mean, you never know.
If his house is actually the house that's on Total Divas, he has a sweet-ass house.
That could be where all his money went.
And he has a bunch of nice cars, too.
Yeah, see? Not a sound investment,
JC. Nope.
But we're not here to give...
financial advice.
Financial advice to wrestlers.
Well, I mean, it's just a big house. It's an expensive house. I can't say I particularly like it. Architecturally, it's for poop.
Wow. You just suplexed his house design.
Yeah.
Right here. Take that, John Cena. John Cena's house.
Yeah. It's just expensive.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of thing.
But it
is kind of interesting to just be in this sort of situation that they're in where, and honestly, the problem they have had all along, too, with Brock Lesnar has pretty much been a good guy. No matter how much they've tried to present him as a bad guy, he's just the guy that kicks ass and wins matches.
That's going to be popular. Like
he kind of backs up what he says, so... You know, there's not much of a reason to hate him.
So, kind of like the Rock character, basically, in a way.
Yeah. He's not as loquacious, but he has Paul Heyman around to do his talking, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we shall see again, I guess. stay tuned. From what I'm hearing, if I was going to go out on a limb... I'm going to say that this Roman Reigns is going to lose at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, and that was the other part of the speculation is that Brock Lesnar said he re-signed with the WWE for 3 years. So people do not think, now that he's back with the WWE, they don't think it's as a sure thing that Reigns ends up winning.
Yeah, that probably is going to help them out in the long run. I'm sure they'd rather do that, so... That'll be good for everybody.
Right.
But, you know, speaking of things that might be good for everybody, wouldn't it be cool to be able to see in the dark, Kevin?
It would be pretty cool to see in the dark.
Yeah.
It would have made paintball pretty interesting.
Nighttime paintball?
Nighttime paintball.
Yeah.
Would have been pretty cool.
Sure, I mean, it makes lots of things interesting, I would think.
I would think it'd make acid kind of interesting.
Sure. I don't know. This procedure kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Right. You're talking about a... it was basically a home-done procedure. Like, they seem to have done it with scientific care. But they still dropped a... like a carrot, was it a carotene, into this person's eyeball to get him to be able to have night vision.
Right, and it seemed like, I mean, they made it sound like it was an injection, but I think it was really more of like a high-tech dropper, like with a real little...
Yeah.
A little hole on the end of it.
Right. A kind of chlorophyll analog called chlorin E6.
Okay. So it's a type of chlorophyll. And they place it in a spot on your eye so that it goes down into the retina somehow.
Right.
And when it's there, apparently it can give you night vision for up to like 30 minutes at this point.
Right, because they were just using, like, 6 cc's or something like that. It was a pretty small amount. And, yeah, you could see, he could figure out if at 50 meters where people, like, they were holding up signs and all kinds of different objects to test how good his vision was. And then they brought in people without it to do a little compare and contrast. And he got it right all the time, and the other people were getting it right a third of the time.
Yeah, so that seems pretty convincing there.
Right.
But it seemed like it would take about an hour for the effects to kick in.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, oh my god.
Yeah, he looks pretty whacked out. Because his eyes look black.
Yeah. If you look at this, the pictures in this article, they're pretty freaky. Like, it sounds pretty cool to be able to see it at, in the dark, but like, he's having his eyes like held open by these weird metal things, for him to be able to get this injection in his eye.
Right. Yeah, I would not want to go through this.
And his eyes are, like, totally black. I wonder what this guy's into. Can we see his shirt here? UCA? UCB? UAU? I don't know. Something pretty nerdy there. But, yeah, he's like... There's some device, like, holding his eyes open.
Yeah, there's some type of clamp there. But you've got to get to that specific part of the eye. And I don't know how close that is to the surface of your... Like, I mean, I guess that's in the back of your eye. So you've got to kind of drop it in there kind of deep. So you got to get that eyelid away from your eye.
Oh, my gosh. He looks like somebody possessed by the devil in a movie. That's basically what he looks like. His eyes are totally black.
Yeah, it looks pretty spacey, to say the least.
So at this point, it's I would say not quite ready for the general public here.
Yeah, I would say that they're in beta testing with this one.
Yeah, right. I'm actually surprised that they were ready to go ahead and test it on people. It seemed like they had just been doing it like on rodents and things.
Right.
But to be able to, inject something in somebody's eyeball, it seems like, I don't know, they must have determined it wasn't dangerous somehow, I guess, but it just seems like crazy that we're at that point yet. Somebody should have consulted me, basically, is what I'm saying.
Well,
I was not briefed on this matter.
I'm guessing if you sign enough documents, you could probably get someone to have that done. And plus, I mean, I guess chlorophyll, you kind of know what chlorophyll does.
Right.
At this point. But like, it's a pretty known commodity.
But do you know we know what a lot of things do, but I don't know if we know what a lot of things do when you inject them into your eyeball, necessarily.
Yeah, well...
At least well enough for me to be comfortable doing it.
It's a pretty gutsy step for anybody, really.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to sign up for that.
No, I'm going to say I'm not going to sign up for it. I'm going to do the opposite. Because, yeah, that's pretty rough. But check out those pictures. It is intriguing down the road, I would say.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we're quite ready for prime time here.
But maybe a little less farther down the road. Let's keep talking about this idea of
being still able the to... fact that this is a possibility makes things pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you wonder how else you could improve someone's eyesight without having to do any type of invasive surgery.
Well, it's semi-invasive, I guess. I mean, you've got to do something to make that guy's eyes look that way.
Yeah, I was just talking about holding his eyeballs open. So, yeah.
Because they got to drop it into that sack, they said, I think.
Right.
Whatever that is. Didn't sound good.
No,
like
not
I said,
at all.
Not going to do it.
If
I could quote our former president, George H.W. Bush, not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Actually, I'm just quoting
Dana Carvey
impression of George H.W. Bush, which is quite funny. But, you know, there was another topic that we had that was dealing with eyesight or
enhanced, lack thereof.
Enhanced eyesight, yes. Maybe not even eyesight. Maybe we need to come up with a different term for what this would be.
Well, this would be sonar.
Sonar?
I mean, bats use sonar.
Echolocation.
Echolocation.
Now, you know, this, someone had an interesting idea for a way to give this sort of ability to humans. Because I don't know if you've heard of, blind people who are able to navigate around by clicking, and they can detect the sounds coming back to basically, you know if there's an object in front of them or that sort of thing. I don't know if you've heard of that. But...
Yeah, I had not really heard about that before.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too surprised, but they did explain it fairly well in the article.
Yeah, and it makes sense that... like you say, like bats or dolphins, other mammals, right?
Right.
You know, people would be somewhat able to do it. I mean, it also makes sense that they wouldn't be perfect. You know, people wouldn't be perfect at this. And blind people who do this...
Our hearing is not as good.
Right. They do sometimes have some problems. It's not like a perfect way of getting around, but...
Right.
Someone had an idea for improving this ability. And what they did was they used a ultrasonic emitter. So this is something that's putting out sound at frequencies that the human's ear cannot hear. Now, why would they do this? Well, it turns out that the sound that travels at a higher frequency is able to... carry more information, basically, about the environment, like smaller details, I guess, about the environment than you would be able to pick up from a lower frequency sound such as click.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just, I guess, the waves are, you know, the way they interact with objects in the environment. You're able to get more information back from these ultrasonic sound waves. Am I using that term right? I'm going to say I am. Yeah.
Well, I did not pull up the article and neither did you. So,
This one I remembered from before, but, now I'm doubting myself. I'm going to plow forward.
Yeah. Keep on going. I'm trying to pull it up here. Just
so the only problem is the fact that people cannot hear sound waves in this range. So the device sends out these waves, and it sounded like has a helmet with big ears on it, which to me sounds ridiculous. They're going to have to change that.
Yeah, the helmet itself looked fairly cumbersome.
But the idea being that this device that you wear on your head will pick up the sound as it's bouncing back and just run it through a, basically, at this point, a laptop that's in a backpack.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the other flaw with this design, is that you need to wear a backpack at all times.
With a laptop in it. But, yeah, they're going to, you know, obviously work on shrinking that down, but all it does is lowers the frequency of the sound to the point where the human ear can hear it, and right. then it sends it into their ears, the person's ears. So all they're doing is taking this ultrasonic sound and then letting the person hear it. And what they found is that after some practice, people are able to get around just great using this this little system.
Right.
And using this system, what made me think it was interesting, or what jumped out to, I mean, the whole thing's interesting, I guess, really. To me.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that, you know, it would be great for people that are blind to be able to echolocate.
Right.
I would think. Like
that would be
huge.
A lot better than not being able to see, I would say.
Yeah. Right. I think it might be a little more dependable than the cane, even.
Right.
Where you can miss something on your right or your left, but, you know, the ultrasonic waves are not going to miss something.
Yeah. And now, like I said, they probably need to work on this, the ear situation here, but,
right.
They can do that. Hopefully. Yeah.
That and the backpack. Get to work, guys.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing, but come on. Apparently, something they were doing was doing brain scans of people who were using this equipment. Now, maybe not brain scans, but brain activity monitors of some kind. And it was interesting because they showed that for people who practiced using this... I'm guessing. Okay. So when they found that when blind and sighted people try this echolocation, it's actually another brain area that lights up compared. It's a different brain area than what we would use for seeing.
Right.
So it's like there's this kind of dormant piece of our brain that's able to deal with, you know, seeing the world through echolocation that is basically switched off for the most part. But that we can, you know, activate with this,
we can
with
tap
this machine.
Into it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It does make you wonder if there's other things that you could, tap into like this.
That's right. Like the Buddha boy or the, who else were we talking about? Who was, oh, yeah, well, I guess that...
yeah, the Buddha and the statue.
And the statue, he probably doesn't apply to here, but...
yeah, I think we can qualify him as dead.
Yeah. I think... I'll most likely agree with you.
When you have no skin and it's just bone...
Inside of a gold statue,
I'm just throwing it out there.
Now, you know, our last podcast dealt with life and death, so it's a little complicated, Kevin. I don't know. The jury's probably still out on this one. But
yeah. Well, if we're all dead, then he's still dead.
But what if we're all alive?
Well, then I guess he's alive.
There you go.
50-50 chance, though, Haas.
You know what, though? This reminded me of and I didn't put a link to it here because I didn't look it up. But there was something where they were teaching blind people to paint. And this seems like a weird concept, right, when you first hear it.
Right.
But what they do is they take a camera and somehow they hook it up to this metal plate that the person can put in their mouth and hold on their tongue.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is it takes the image from the camera and will kind of like send electric signals based on that to different parts of this plate that they're having on their tongue. And so they'll feel like maybe little tingles on their tongue based on like what the picture is that they're, the camera is showing.
Right.
And with practice, they said, they're able to pick up on like the different, like what is painted on the surface based on like the feedback they're getting on their tongues, which I thought was kind of crazy. Like they could like see what they could tell somebody what the shape was, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So probably a different brain area. I'm not sure, but,
how many brain areas are there?
Oh, we're going to find out. We're going to get to the bottom of every last brain area, by the time we finish this podcast. That's our promise. And we're going to tell you how many there are. That's going to be, that's our other promise. So stay tuned, people.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. We thought that both of those things, dealing with the blind there, essentially.
Right. Although, you know, it would tie into almost a night vision, you know,
I mean, that's what bats would do.
Yeah. Cause even if you had sight, you can still learn to use this echolocation, to be able to get around at nighttime.
Right. And you would not need to have black eyeballs to do so.
Oh my God. Or go through some kind of Clockwork Orange like experience where they hold your eyeballs open and put stuff in them. Yeah, no thanks. I'd rather have the bat ears. And you know what? If you're going to wear it at night, then that's the perfect opportunity, really.
Yeah, no one's going to see you.
Maybe that's what Batman's got going on. That's why he's got those big ears on his cowl, you know?
Well, he did use them in, was it The Dark Knight? That he had some echolocation going on with his bat ears.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I've seen that scene a couple of times recently. It's just been, oh, TNT got the rights to it. So they're playing it all the damn time now. And so if I don't have anything, like if I'm just doing some housework, I'll just throw it on just so that it's on. And I seem to have caught that part a couple of times.
Yeah, that was probably pretty low hanging fruit for Batman, you know, to get echolocation as a superpower. It just makes sense, you know?
Right.
I can't fault them there.
Nope.
But somebody went and did it and made it real. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Okie doke, grandkids. Well, since we already did the sippy time beer, I think that we can get out of here.
Yeah, I still have some of mine left. So I'm going to continue sipping. Sippy time is not over for me, at least.
Yep, I've finished mine. So for @Gozer33... @DeFrango11, follow us, everything, all posts, @StuntGranny. You kids have a good night, and welcome to nearly the end of the week of podcasts.